I think, Dave, hi. If we've made it to episode 2, I guess we're still standing.
We're still standing. We're doing a lot of things have been going on the past few weeks.
So many things have been going on that I'm actually opening our calendar as we record so we can just see what those things are, because I'm not sure that we totally remember.
To try and put it back together, what we've been doing.
What is it called when you take a dish and then you make it backwards?
Leftovers?
No. it's a deconstructed dish. So I want to deconstruct everything or sort of reframe everything that's gone on in the past few weeks.
Okay, what day do we start? What day are we starting with?
I don't know that we need to read shot by shot all of our appointments and things that have happened. But I guess the most significant thing that happened is that D-Clock came on board.
Yeah, that was great. Really interesting. Really exciting. She's so talented.
I think from the start, we had hoped that we would create something that would have a place and a space for her, and we weren't certain that we would. And when we got to that point of, oh, it looks like we're going to be running workshops and working with artisans out there in the world, it was kind of natural.
No, and also that it's going to be a food initiative.
Yeah.
So we have a baker, and we have a chef, Tikla.
And then I just hang out.
No, that wasn't, no.
I'm really happy to just hang out. And the truth is that I find that often the two of you will be wrapped up in a conversation and I can't even I don't even understand what's happening. And I think of myself a little bit as a foodie. I feel I've been in this business for a while, but there's this meta level of conversation that happens that I sort of sit back and I'm like, that's all you.
Well, look, listen, she has a lot to teach me about cooking and kitchen, and I have a lot to share about baking.
I find that you argue quite a bit.
We have different opinions, and it's a machloket l'shem shamayim.
Yep. I remember being watching you in joint workshops where the two of you were teaching the same group of people two different techniques for the same thing.
Yeah. We have different mindsets. We have different ways of doing it, and we're able to communicate and debate, different methods and ways and reasons why we do things. Food is complicated, right? Meaning there's a lot of chemistry, a lot of physics, in bread at least, there's physics, mechanics and biology and things going on. There's a lot going on in the process. And so navigating the process for creating each dish is very, you can go different ways.
That is definitely true. I would say, two things. One, you'll know that we have officially arrived when Dikla agrees to be on this podcast.
Yes.
That already will be, I don't even know what I'll do. I'm going to have champagne waiting just for the day that she agrees to do this. Hilariously, Hanan, our 16-year-old, has offered to be on a podcast.
He has.
Yeah. Also, he's in a monosyllabic stage, at least with us. So I'm really curious to hear what that would be like.
We should just do it just to see what he has to say.
Maybe we'll just tell him it's a podcast.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. My big disagreements with Dikla are about coriander, kusbara, which I feel like is bad. Can I get sued? Is there a kusbara association that will be out to get me?
I'm actually reading a book now about this.
Coriander is bad?
No, possibly. That, bitter tasting foods wake up certain receptors in our bodies and create different hormones and stuff and reactions that are actually beneficial. So when you have things that are bitter and kusbara tasting, those flavors initiate self-protection and
so you're saying I should get over myself?
No, you could take vitamins and stuff, that's fine.
But otherwise, kusbara is the way to go?
Well, I think there's a reason why that different cuisines have developed on the bitter side or, in incorporating bitter.
All right, let me see about this. Okay, so kusbara I get, coriander, I would put it in no things, and Dikla would put it in all things. Here's the other great debate that we have, sesame seeds.
What? I thought, you're against sesame seeds?
I am totally against, no, I think a normal human amount of sesame seeds, I think a person should maybe consume 1 tablespoon of sesame seeds every month, scattered on whatever it is, not more than 1 tablespoon. And Israel has this obsession, this love affair with sesame seeds that I can't get on that train.
Well, look, to quote Anna Morel, who taught me how to bake, Anything tastes better and looks better when you put sesame seeds on it.
I think we can fold up now. Even today, what were we making that she wanted sesame seeds for? And I just had to like, please, no, not that. But sesame seeds.
Look, garnish and food presentation is a whole topic. And it's very valuable. And it's important.
I'm glad. I hope that you guys discuss it at some point. I come from the world of feelings. How do I feel?
Right. So our children, when Dikla made this whatever dish we were working on, it was sitting around in the kitchen that was garnished, that a macaroni thing or whatever.
Yes.
Like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, it was noodles with sauce on it, but it was garnished and there was a presentation there. It also tasted good.
I would say two things about that story that I'm going to call you out on that I'm not sure you know the full story. So I'm going to step back for 1 second. We decided yesterday 9 recipes for 9 days. I've always wanted to do a digital magazine. I feel like that is like just an incredible space that I wanted to get into. And so we started toying around with it literally yesterday morning. And today it went out later than I had hoped. More on that. Later than I had hoped, but we were just like recipe prepping in our kitchen, meaning RocherStream isn't ready now. So we're jumping back and forth between the renovation and meeting people, and that's probably why we need to look at our calendar to understand what's been happening.
Because we're doing a lot of legwork, you know.
Yeah, it's a ton of running. But yesterday and today, we've spent a lot of time. Dikla and I have spent a lot of time in the kitchen because as fast as she can cook is as fast as I can write it up and take pictures and social media it. And so we've been on a race. So Dikla made this gorgeous pasta dish. Did you try it?
Yes.
It was like this creamy roasted pepper sauce, which I would never in the world imagine our 18-year-old would try, which he did and loved. But Dove, while we're in the middle of making it or had just finished making it, he's like, so can I have Wacky Mac? And I'm like, yes. I'm like, don't you want this like great, amazing, pepper, colorful? He's like, could I just have Wacky Mac? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Meshek Wacky Mac.
Meshek Wacky Mac. So yes, we try, but also I guess the kids keep us grounded. But part of the fun is like today Dikla was making these unbelievable, she likes to call it eggplant schnitzels. I think it's just what I would call step one in making eggplant parmesan.
Yeah. Okay.
But she was making, and so there's this huge pile of it. And like the kids are just wandering in and out and their friends are wandering in and out and our friends are wandering in and out. And it's just this great full kitchen full of stuff.
Yeah, not a huge pile anymore.
No, it's not a huge pile anymore. No, it's not. But meaning one of the cool things is, so we put out today 9 recipes for the 9 days, which felt very gratifying. But in between all of that, we've been doing 1,000 other things, including you discovered Israel's Costco.
Yes. So getting back into the supply chain in Israel, or the wholesale supply chain, there are a lot of interesting things going on. Supersol apparently has got into this market where they're supplying small businesses. There are a couple wings to it. One wing is small makolets in Moshavim and Yeshuvim, which can order directly from Supersol. That's why maybe you'll notice that there's Supersol brand in some of your local small makolets.
If you live in Israel.
If you live in Israel, yes. And they're restructuring, you know, they have a lot of buying power and they have a lot of market share and they're restructuring the wholesale market.
What I enjoyed about it was basically right now it exists in 2 places in Israel. One is Be'er Yaakov, which is near Rishon, and one is in Haifa, I think. And I think he told us there's plans in Ashdod. And one of the things that I liked was like the very, meaning I only know about this experience from being in Israel, but like you order something to be delivered, right? You put in a big order, a wholesale order from one of these big chains, and you're waiting for your chomrei gelem, your ingredients to come, and you're just making them crazy. You're calling them every 20 minutes. They're late. Where's the truck? They forgot to put this on. They brought us the wrong thing. You have to switch it back. And this sort of answers that by saying, don't bother us.
They call it cash and carry.
Cash and carry. Don't even talk to us. Come to this really, really big store that has things not all super cheap, but in bulk. Buy whatever you want and then take it and go away. Because I don't want to answer your phone call. I don't want to put it on a truck. I don't want to worry about it. You want to come? Great. Also, I'd say in the world of Instagram, like, you know, you're always watching how many people are interacting with your stories or reacting or reaching out. And I put on that story that we were, you know, in Be'er Yaakov. And within 10 minutes, my inbox was flooded of like, how do I get in? Where is it? And all I know is meaning you need to be a business and you need to reach out to them. Supersol Asakim, that's what it's called. You need to reach out to them and you need to be business. And I must have written that like 50 times because to feel, first of all, to be in Israel in the summer is to, even not realizing it, deeply, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe this is just my experience, is to deeply miss America. Because in the summer, your kids are tossed into a day camp or into a sleepaway camp, and you're just like living your life. And here, your kids are just here.
They're around.
And you need to entertain them. And best case scenario, your kids are young enough and they're still in Gunim. They're still getting home at one. So you're in this space where you constantly need entertainment, and it's really hot in Israel. And I personally, like, I just miss the rain. Like, there's so many things that I miss, and all of a sudden you see something that can sort of, if you squint, look like Costco, and you're like, where's that? Get me there.
Also, I will say that I think summer for the two of us is maybe not the same as summer for everybody listening. Like, we grew up in camp, whether it was going to camp or working in camp or running camp or, so, you know.
Yeah, but so did our kids, meaning because we were working in camp or... Mm-hmm. They went to camp, so there is that deep missing of camp, except that I would say, as the kids are older now, I would acknowledge that I sort of love summer for them on this yeshuv.
Yeah, the yeshuv life is great. Yeshuv life is great. It's not always scheduled.
No, it's not scheduled. Like, I think that I think when Yael and Yoni were younger, I felt like every minute of every day had to be scheduled.
You
because
did.
They were, yeah. Because they were small children and like, what time are you going in the pool and what are you having for snack and what is lunch and what is nap time? Like, I'm type A on a good day, and definitely when they were small people, I felt that. Now that everybody is bigger, I sort of feel like, are you doing one thing a day? And if you're doing one thing a day, I feel like I can put like a little check mark by the day and be like, oh, that's what he did today. So on the yeshuv, it feels like that parenting style is lauded. So like last week they had... soccer tournaments all day. Like, Hanan and Dov left at 1, and then they came back at, I don't know, 8 or 9.
Wait, look, it's a nice thing about yeshuv life. I wonder what it's like, what city life is like in Israel.
Guys, summertime. Just tell us, what's city life like? You know, me and Dave, we're poor country folk sitting out here. What's it like in those big cities? I love yeshuv life. I do, and I love it mostly for reasons like this. Like, the kids, like, it's... What time is it? 4:15, 4:30 in the afternoon. Maybe we have one kid in the house, and that's only a maybe. I don't know. It seems like that. Okay, let's get back to busy week, busy life, Costco. We did our first round of shopping
there.
Yeah, I
think we did it more to test it out, to see, does this really work? And we got our papers in, and we got approved, and this and that and the other, and then we're able to kind of...
It feels like it's adventure time. Like, there was something about adventure time that needed to happen. Like, let's go see people about things. Dikla had been talking about a store in Modi'in that she had wanted to check out forever, and I like it. I think that, like, some of the things that I talk about now are really just about vibe. Like, how do things feel? How do they fit on us? So, you know, we've been using certain suppliers for years and years and years, but do they feel good? Do they feel right? You know, let's see what's out there in the world. And so that's sort of been our experience.
Right. So part of what we're doing with Meshach 48 is that while we plan to be extremely busy all the time, we're not committing to having, you know, this will be ready every single day at this time, like a lot of food businesses. All food businesses.
I keep calling it food adjacent because I feel like there's this pressure that you're like, oh, you're a food business, so you open at 7? Are you open at 9? Are you open now? So I think what we're going to see happen, at least initially, so today is, what's the date today? Back to the calendar.
2nd of August.
The 2nd of August. I'm sad that I can't hold up this calendar. It's called our countdown calendar. And every day or every 2 days, I send it to our builder and our interior person because everything shifts around so often. This guy is coming to deliver this here. The flooring is going in there. The carpenter is coming in here. Wait, that guy isn't coming. So everything gets shifted by 2 days. It feels like, it just feels like there's so many balls in the air. But it also feels like by midway of next week, we're going to start with workshops.
Correct. Yeah. We will be able to launch by the middle of next week. It's all coming together. You know, the stuff's being delivered and floors are being put in and the cleaners are coming and the gas, you know, the gas is turning on, like all these different kinds of things are happening. And it, you know, I guess we're old enough to mature enough to say, like, it looks like it's going to work.
It looks like it might happen. At least it looks like it's going to work for the next month.
Yeah.
Who knows after that? And really what's happening now is even the artisan program that we had put out there and started talking to artisans, I'm pushing that towards the end of August, only because I'm not even sure what dates fit where. And you and Dikla are taking the show, meaning there are a whole bunch of really cool workshops. There's a great falafel workshop, a focaccia workshop, a... What's that bread that you make that I never know?
Breads and pans.
Breads and pans workshop. There are a whole bunch of them that are going to go up on our site. Our site is going up in the next few days. Aviva, if you're listening. There are so many things that are sort of launching now that it feels like, oh, okay, like I guess we got to go. Like today, Dikla's like, but did we order cutlery? And we're like, oh, right. Yeah, that's a thing.
Right, so there are a lot of details, and you know, and there's this I want to jump back to something you said before. Like we are spending a lot of time doing sourcing, which is kind of like one of the things that were kind of the mission, part of the mission statement in Magic 48 of sourcing, and like giving ourselves the time to go and find, hey, who's doing honey? Well, let me talk to some guy and like, wait a minute, do you know honey people? Like, yeah, we can spend some time looking for people and calling them and even going to visit them. On the other hand, yeah, we want to be running workshops, but we can also schedule days of travel days.
Part of what I think we hope to do is really to be an access point to really interesting people around the country. It's something that we've enjoyed doing for the past 7 years in Papamelach, and I think it's something that right now it's a great opportunity to find people who are doing interesting things and be like, tell me a bit about that.
With Papamelach, I think we found there are people that are passionately committed to doing great things and to excellence. And,
even if they're doing mediocre things, I think the fact that they're passionate about it sort of elevates it for us.
Yeah, no, I think we've come to really understand deeply the value of humility and greatness, that they actually go together. Humility doesn't mean sheepishness. We found this beautiful combination of humility and excellence.
Well, those are our favorite people. Meaning we always say our favorite people are really humble about what it is that they're doing, and they're doing it super, super well.
Right.
And
those are the people we're finding. Those are the people we are seeking.
Those are the people we're looking for. I don't think we always find them, but when we do find them, it's just incredible. It's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. I guess let's talk a little bit about where we're heading in the upcoming weeks. It sort of looks like, if I look at our countdown calendar, we hit Tisha B'Av on Sunday. Also, somebody wanted to come and measure something on Tisha B'Av. It's like, oh, no, nothing. Like, that nobody can be near anything businessy on Tisha B'Av.
All right.
Yeah, it gets me so nervous. Even, like, most of the building has been done. Like, the 9 days in building also freaks me out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the building has been done. It's more people just dropping things off right now. But even that gets me, like, a little bit nervous. Anyway, we get through Tisha B'Av and then Chatzot the next day.
Yeah.
I just feel it. I do. I feel it in my neshama. What am I going to tell you? After Chatzot the next day, I think already we're going to be starting booking workshops for Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. We're going to start bringing people in. We're starting to bring other artisans in. And we're starting to build out already our platform for Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, it's really just committing to, we have lots of these ideas. And it's committing to, putting them on the calendar, getting the calendar out there and making... and letting everybody know what's going to be happening. This day, this person's coming. This day, these people are coming. This day, we're going to be doing this.
Yeah, I guess I would say a couple things. One, I anticipate getting things wrong also.
We will absolutely get. I think also, for me, I'm ready to get things wrong on occasion. We know that we're totally capable of getting things right.
Yep.
And we do a lot.
Also, I don't really mind the getting things wrong bit. That's okay by me. But it also feels like there are so many different areas that each of us are interested in separately and together that it feels like part of it is a journey that we're going on, the two of us with Dikla, and part of it is the three of us each have our own agendas that we sort of want to explore and look at.
But it also, this goes back to our mission statement here, where we're looking to grow people and their passions. That's kind of the really exciting thing about this this company. You know, like we may end up in really different places, with this company, which is fine. It's all centered around this theme of celebrating the land and celebrating the people, which really speaks to us, I think. And we have our kochot and we have our strengths and we have our grit and commitment to make things happen. Yeah, it's really exciting.
It is really exciting. I guess this is a good place to shout out how people can follow us and find out what's going on. On Facebook, we're Meshek48. On Instagram, we're Meshek48. You can sign up on our website, which literally right now is just the only thing you can do on the website is to sign up for our newsletter, which goes out, I guess, about once a week, most recently with our 9 recipes for the 9 days. So if you still want to catch that, you can sign up and we'll get it into your inbox somehow. I think that's the ways you can find us.
Yeah.
You can come hang out with us in our house. Dikla has been hanging out here cooking, and so that's been quite delicious. And you can come pop around Rosh Tzurim. Maybe the coffee machine is going in on Monday.
I think the audio visual equipment was actually installed today, and it's like, I was like, whoa, this is good stuff.
So maybe Monday night we could watch a movie there while drinking coffee.
Maybe.
We have tables.
Yeah.
Listen, it's moving forward. It also feels like different space to me. I think that was something that we had contemplated going back to a space that we had begun in so long ago. It feels a little bit different. The layout is different. The design concept is different.
Yes, it definitely feels differently there. I'm feeling a little bit I have to do homework to catch up. I'm like, oh, projectors do this now? Or, oh,
it's so funny that you're saying it like that. I thought you'd be like, you have to do homework to go back there to be like, oh, you guys had another kid? Oh, that kid had a bar mitzvah? Do you know what I mean? Like, we were so part of that community, the community of Rosh Tzurim. Like, those were our people for so long that my catch-up is more like, I got to go hang out at that makolet a little bit more and see, what's going on.
Everybody in their own realm.
Yeah, your realm will be AV, and my realm will be, all the people. Tell me the stuff.
It's not just AV. It's the IT. It's how bookkeeping works these days. It's how the registers work nowadays. All these things, you know.
Well, I think that we talked about it, I think even on the first podcast, about how when you've done this once and you're doing something again, that you have all of this knowledge that you've gained, or all of these, even things that were hard for us before, or we didn't pay enough attention to, or we paid too much attention to. Like, a do-over is really very exciting.
Well, I would say also that, with experience, you really hone in and have clarity on your values and what you're looking for and what's right. And it's nice to be able to work with those.
Yeah. Look, I think that we can articulate more now what our passions are. We've had 7 years to sort of play around in the field and say, oh, the next thing is going to allow us to focus in on things that we're passionate about or excited about, or things that we explored only a little bit and now we want to explore more.
For instance, the Meshek part interests me quite a bit. The farming going on in the kibbutz, literally the kibbutz is a farm. They're growing things. They have cattle and they have a deer. It's literally a farm. And that's a real interesting place for me to kind of look at, think about, specifically with regenerative agriculture. Which is really important and really interesting today.
I think these aren't words that we even knew about a year or two ago.
Yeah.
I think that for you, for now, there are so many different avenues and so many different rabbit holes that you can explore that have opened up huge vistas to you.
Yeah, really large worlds. And we're, being connected to the grain world, being connected to the kibbutz movement, being connected to the Beit Midrash. There's so many places to kind of explore and make connections between these worlds, which is really invigorating.
Yeah, I think that that's probably the right place for us to sort of step off, meaning it's been a couple of really intense and wonderful weeks. I think we'll look back on it as running back and forth to Rosh Tzurim, running around the country, Dikla with us in the kitchen, out of the kitchen, really creating and streamlining what our vision is, even though the vision seems kind of big. And I think we're really excited and to see what happens in the next week or two.
Yeah, lots of work and lots of ability to sit and really focus on the direction of that work.
Yep. So if you guys are in the Gush anytime in the next few weeks, come say hi. We hope that the doors will be unlocked and the coffee will be on and there'll be some good food somewhere. We're really looking forward. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, this was wonderful.
Have a great day.